Chapter 34.
That was amazing, the slime girl said when we were finally spent.
The room smelled like sex and not a lot else, and honestly, part of me wondered how they were going to clean all the cushions.
I never knew it could feel like that.
She looked over at me while one of her hands casually played with little me.
You're amazing.
You were pretty great yourself, I said, as I stared at the ceiling. And while I knew I should care about other things, I just didn't. Maybe I would tomorrow, but oddly enough, well, I was sure everything would be okay. I mean, sure, the quest might be difficult, but at the same time, my level and abilities seemed to be appropriate for the challenges I'd faced thus far. And I had utter confidence in Queenie as well. Truly top-notch. I think you've ruined me for normal girls.
And you've ruined me for all other men.
Her hand drifted between her legs, and she stroked herself.
I can still feel you.
She grinned at me.
Still want to feel you.
I'm glad, I said, right before she kissed me again. And as we broke apart, I gave her a smile. I know that once we leave this room, we're going to have to stop the Hobgoblin King, but I'm really liking the idea of spending more time with you. I paused. What is your name, anyway? I don't think you ever told me.
I don't have a name,
she said, matter-of-factly. You don't have a name? I raised an eyebrow at her. How do you know? I trailed off as I tried to figure out what I wanted to say.
Slimes don't really have names,
she shrugged.
Getting to be named Slime in my world is a big deal, because you become much more powerful.
Really? I asked as I raised an eyebrow at her. Is it the same for other creatures? I mean, I have a name.
That doesn't surprise me. Names in your world are common,
she smirked.
In ours, not so much.
That's interesting, I said, as I studied her carefully while making a mental note to ask Morleone about his name and how he'd come by it. Is it because the rules of my world are different?
That is a very complicated question, Otherworlder.
She smiled at me.
Because the answer is sort of.
Oh. I stared at her for a moment. What would happen if I gave you a name?
You would do that?
She asked. And the glee in her voice made me flush with embarrassment. I mean, it didn't seem like that big of a deal to me, but if it made her happy.
Of course.
I looked her over. So, you're a slime, huh? What's a good name for a slime? Like, should I name you after a powerful demon or ancient goddess, or does it matter?
It only matters that the person who grants me the name thinks it is a good name.
She nodded at me.
Name me whatever you think of when you see me.
As I stared at her, I had a million names run through my head. Lilith, Sekhmet, Azuka Langley Soryu from Evangelion, Britney Spears, Princess Leia from Star Wars. And none of them seemed to fit quite as such as I saw in my head when I saw her. I want to name you Jane. I smiled at her. Would that be okay?
I think it is a great name, but why have you chosen it for me?
She looked at me hopefully.
That is the most important thing.
Well, here's the thing. I scratched behind my ear. When I was little, I remember watching a movie called A Bronx Tale, and in it there was a girl who was the prettiest, most amazing girl ever. Throughout the movie, the boy kept wondering what her name would be. That it had to be something crazy and exotic,
And her name was Jane?
The slime girl piped up, clearly pleased. Yes. I nodded at her. And since you're the prettiest, most amazing slime girl ever, well,
I understand. Your name pleases me.
She did a little shimmy of joy before holding her hand out to me.
I'm Jane. Pleased to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Jane, I said as I shook her hand. I'm Garrett. I'll be honest. I spent the next little bit enjoying her company before heading down to the breakfast hall, which reminded me of one of those Moroccan restaurants with the belly dancers, only the belly dancers were penguin girls. Don't ask. It's as weird as it sounds. Still, the food was quite good. And after filling my stomach with greasy, roasted meat while Jane ate what seriously looked like 18 pounds of porridge, we headed out. Thankfully, it seemed like the rest of my party had made it in okay, because as we exited the breakfast hall, I found Queenie and the musicians right outside the door. And from the look of things, they were trying to eat their way through what had to be their weight in taffy and assorted candies.
You need to try this, Master,
Queenie tried to say around a mouthful of the chewy green stuff.
It's so good.
She gave me a pleased twitch of her antennae before stuffing a brightly colored red gob into her mouth and smiling, which was also when I realized the candy had stained her teeth bright red, so she looked like a demoness.
Try the lemon ones, Morleone said, as he reached into a huge sack and retrieved a pair of yellow candies wrapped in wax paper and offered them to Jane and me. They're my favorite.
No!
Queenie squealed as she leaped to her feet and smacked them from Morleone's hand like he had been trying to offer us a live snake.
Do not! They are so sour they will make your cheeks suck in like this.
She sucked in her cheeks, causing her lips to bulge forward like a fish.
It's terrible because it washes away the taste of all the lovely sweet things.
Her multifaceted eyes narrowed as she looked right at the goblin.
Why, I should flay you alive for even thinking to offer it to Master.
They're my favorite.
The goblin sure had moxie, because he met the Ant Queen's eyes and didn't back down, until Jay looked to me to intervene. I don't mind sour things, I said with a shrug. But honestly, I'm more of a salted licorice fan.
You like licorice?
Jane, Queenie, and Morleone said in unison.
But it's terrible.
Even Jay nodded in agreement, and somehow that hurt worst of all. Really? I said as I looked at the silent goblin. Why you gotta do me like that? His look said very clearly that I don't agree with you, but I'll try to help you out. Only as I watched him toss a piece of licorice into his mouth and chew twice, his face filled with agony. He spat the offending candy onto the ground and then began wiping his tongue with his hands before glaring at me like this was my fault. Whatever, I said with a laugh as I reached into the bag and pulled out a piece of licorice and popped it into my mouth. More for me. I chewed the piece, and as the flavors coated my tongue, I had thoughts of stealing bits of fennel while my dad sautéed it with garlic in the kitchen.
He does seem to enjoy it, Jane said.
And it was then that Queenie truly seemed to notice the slime girl. The Ant Queen's antennae twitched a couple times before she bounded across the space between them. And then, before anybody could even react, she leaned in and licked Jane's cheek.
You taste like Master, she said
as she leaned back on her heels, her eyes in concentration.
Why?
Then, as if the word made her think of the answer, her eyes widened in shock.
Did you mate with him? Yes,
Jane said. Rather unashamedly, I might add. Only Queenie wasn't paying any attention to the slime girl, because she was quite clearly staring at me. And as she did so, I saw her clench and unclench her hands.
Master,
she said, forced calm in her voice.
Is this true?
Yeah.
And was it satisfying?
Queenie asked as her eyes flicked to Jane.
Tell me the truth.
It was, I said as I rubbed the back of my neck.
Good.
Queenie let out a breath of relief.
If it hadn't been, I'd have had to destroy her for giving you a bad experience.
She turned her attention to Jane.
Thank you for performing the sex act well with Master. He is very special and deserves to be treated as such.
He is, isn't he?
Jane said, her cheeks flushing a bit as she looked over at me.
And trust me, I want nothing more than to give him special attention.
Queenie said something, but I didn't hear it because I was too busy looking at Jay. The look on his face very clearly said, "Can you teach me this power, O wise and benevolent one?" Oddly, Morleone had a similar look on his face.
"Then it is settled,"
Queenie said. And as I looked to her, I found her and Jane were now both staring at me.
"Assuming it is okay with Master."
"Assuming what is okay with me?" I asked, clearly having missed something important.
"Queenie wants to give you a special reward once we defeat the Hobgoblin King. Speaking of which..."
Jane's face hardened.
"We have much to do to prepare."
She spread her hands wide. And as she did so, her arms kept stretching, her slime expanding to at least a couple of yards wide. Then they looped together and merged to form the almost exact shape of the city's walls. The message was clear.
"There are not many warriors here, and given the state of our walls, it is unlikely we can hold them off in our current state."
"Well, I have a few ideas about that if you want to hear them," I said. And when they nodded, I began to lay out my plans. When I was done, Jane looked at me dubiously.
"I do not think we have the manpower for such an endeavor, Master Garrett,"
she said in a way that made me think she wished it wasn't so. "Oh, we can get it done, right, Queenie?" I looked over at the aunt, who gave me a nod.
"I believe it is within the realm of possibility, Master."
She met my eyes.
"I believe you can do the things you say you can."
Her antennae twitched.
"I will have the ants begin harvesting the wood you have asked for."
"Good," I said as I clapped my hands together. "The Hobgoblin King arrives in 3 days, and we need to be ready."